All right. You guys doing all right? Are you sure? Are you sure? You good? Okay. My Bible, like, imploded. Look at that. It's like, I'm cheap, man. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, I got a bunch of stuff in my hands. I don't care. I'm becoming the old preacher around here, aren't I? I got the gray hair. I got the glasses. That's okay. All right. It's all good. Everything has its time. We've been involved in a theme throughout the year. And quite honestly, it's been needed. The last couple years have been rough. Obviously with COVID, but oh, thanks, man. That's very attentive of you. Wow. Now I can put my messed up Bible right here. Amen. We were like, this year we got to emphasize kind of the togetherness that we need to have in the church so that we can model something for the world that we live in. Because there's been just a lot of division in our world, and it's actually caused division in the church. So let's just be real. Let's just open up, right? Some people don't come here anymore because they think we didn't handle this good, or, you know, we're too left or too right, or we were too much this when we talked about race, or not enough that. And some people are like, I don't want to be here. Hey, man, you're grown. You can do whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, I don't like it. I wish it weren't the case, but I'm not going to sit here and act like it didn't happen, right? Because that doesn't do us any good either. But you're here. All right, so you're here, and you're listening today. And you've been listening all year, we hope. And it's not a gimmick. We really believe that we genuinely need to kind of circle the troops, so to speak, and rally around that right there. That's biblical, and it's real. And we've needed it. And we started the year off not about how faithful we are, and let's tell stories about how great we are. We start off this year, He is faithful. And we talked about God's nature, God's heart, who God is. And we talked about being the family of God. We see the family of God in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. And we talked about how to have spirit-filled relationships. So we're not just doing whatever we want, however we want, but we're trying to wake up every morning and somehow die to ourselves, right? And let God's Spirit live through us, right? So if you're if you have a spouse, you're trying to let God love your spouse through you in the way that God would do that. We need to have spirit-filled relationships. We even celebrated Pentecost this year, and hopefully it was encouraging. And then the following week had some people from other countries preach the word to us because we're all connected. We're faithful together. That's right. And we talked about the body of Christ. We talked about just recently practicing the way of Jesus. We're His apprentices. So I hope that you realize that this hasn't been just a laundry list of like, go out there and do this, do that. This has been, all right, let's figure out who God is and who we are and how we need to respond to Him. And today is in that same vein, okay, in a similar heart. And really, we're going to talk about how can we do life together? because it can get sticky sometimes. And what are some of the mindsets that we need to have to do life together? We're going to talk about serving, what that really looks like, to be a servant, biblically, New Testament style. So if you're ready for that message, then amen. And if you're not, you're about to get it anyway. So amen. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that You have brought us together, and we want to spiritually connect with You right now. And right now is not last Sunday, and it's not next Sunday, it's today. And you have a word for each one of us in this room today. And I pray that the soil of our hearts are receptive and not distracted and not filled with our own thoughts, but receptive to Your instruction and Your love and Your guidance for our lives. So help us Help us in that this morning. Help us to understand the mindset, the attitude, and the heart of how Jesus taught us to be servants and what that really looks like. And help us not to fight it so much as to embrace it. And I hope that not only do we understand what it means, but we'll live it out in our own lives as we serve together and do life together. So please, please help us this morning. I offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So basically, we're going to look at three passages today, all right? And we're going to let those passages hopefully illuminate, hopefully, the heart of what it means to be a servant, you know, as we talk about, you know, doing life together. We're going to spend a couple weeks about being a servant. First passage, Matthew chapter 20. All right, we'll ease into it. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" Jesus asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "Oh yeah, we can, they answered. Jesus said, "All right, okay, well, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." And we'll stop here. I think we learn a lot about culture, motivation, and service, even right now, okay? Because what do you see with, you know, James and John's mom? She's trying to, at the end of the day, to sit next to Jesus on his left and his right, those are places of honor, prestige, authority. If I were to ask every one of you, would you rather be just an employee or would you rather be running the show? All of y'all be like, "I want to be running the show." You know it. That's in you. It's in us. But this desire for prestige, rank, authority, it's in here. She's trying to set her kids up so they can be next to Jesus. And Jesus is like, you don't get it. You know, "Can you drink the cup that I can drink? Can you drink my cup?" Now, of course, they're like, "Of course, we got this." But when you read this in the scripture, if you're not familiar, this cup kind of symbolizes judgment, the wrath of God. There's only one person that can really drink that cup to have the effect of saving us all. And that was Jesus. He was the only, just like in Revelation, right? In that moment where no one can open the scrolls, we can't find anybody. But there's one person that can. It's Jesus. Nobody can drink this cup, the cup of your sin and my sin, the cup of judgment on this world, except Jesus. So Jesus said, "You can't drink my cup. You don't even know what you're talking about. But you know what? You know, here's the deal. You'll drink kind of my cup that I give you." He's going to drink the cup only he can drink. But then guess what? You and I have a cup to drink too. And that cup might not be all pretty. It might not be feely, touchy, feely good all the time, because that's what it means to be a servant in Jesus's kingdom. But notice what Jesus says. Even though Jesus is Lord, he's the teacher, capital T, capital R, rabbi. He's the one that chose these 12, right? But he says, I'm not running everything. My Father is the one who has the authority to figure out who's going to be where. I'm not trying to overstep my role. So Jesus actually is embodying an understanding of what it means to be a servant. He is a servant of the Father. He's not grabbing for prestige and honor and all that like they are. He's telling him, look, I'm not running everything. So it's the Father. I can't even give that to you, what you're asking for. I love how Jesus embodies his message. He doesn't just preach sermons all day. And may we be like that. But this caused a little bit of disturbance in the force among the 12. You know what I'm saying? Because they start seeing, wait, they figure out what's going on. And then the Bible says, when they found out the other 10, they were indignant. Man, you brought your mama to do, bro, that's just manipulative. What y'all doing, man? Dang, that's low. You know, I mean, they got into it. Who knows? So verse 25, Bible says Jesus calls them together. Jesus sees what's going on. I mean, people grabbing for power and all that. What in the world's going on? Grabbing their mama. What's going on? Pull them in. Come on. And Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Jesus is making a clear statement. There's a way the world works out there where you grab as much authority as you can get, and once you get it, you just run things. And if you have the authority, you exercise it. And if you need to exercise it more and more to get more production, you do what you gotta do. And whatever you do, it's better to be the top dog than the bottom. Fight to get to the top. He said, that's going on out there. But not so with you. You want to be in my kingdom? You want to be a citizen of my kingdom? Don't bring that junk from out there into here. And so I say to you, don't bring that junk in this world into North River either. Excuse me. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. What? And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is what it means to be a servant. This is the attitude that we need to have. So let's make a decision even now. Don't bring that junk of trying to scrap, and you know, if it means putting somebody else down to elevate yourself, that's how it works out there. Not so with you. Amen. This is the heart. This is the attitude. This is the mindset. Jesus said, I am the Son of Man, a humble way to even really refer to himself. And I didn't come here just to get people to do what I tell them to do. That's not my heart. So why in the world would it be yours? If you want to be great, you want to serve and do great things in what I'm trying to build, do you really? If you really do, then stop trying to clamor to be at the top. Serve people even that you think are less than you. And go lay your life down for them. That's the cup that you need to drink. You were all high and mighty, as I call it. You were big draws before. You got all that. You can do everything. Well, drink this cup. Serve people that you think aren't worthy. Because I didn't come just to get people to serve me. I came to serve people. Is that your attitude? I appreciate this quote. He received nothing from others. His was a life of giving and the giving of a life. That's Jesus. Are you his apprentice? Are you? Or are you just like everybody else out there in the world? Cutthroat. Whatever you got to do. And actually, waiting on people to serve you. When you come to church, is your mindset, I am coming to serve everybody around me? Or do you come to this building, well, I hope they're going to feed me today. It better be good. And they better set up everything in this church to meet every need I got. Or else I'm not going to be happy with this church. Might even decide to go somewhere else if they don't serve me the way I want. And you say, Jeff, that is an overdramatic no. Well, okay. Okay. I'm going to tell you, it's not. And you know, sometimes you got to figure, Jesus, I appreciate it. Hey, not so with you. You know, some of y'all might not have grown up that way, but if I came into my house with some of that, well, these people over there, they let their kids do this, and they let them, you know, I'd get checked. You know what I mean? Like, hey, bro, hold on, let me check you. We don't do that in here. Not so with you.
Yeah. Come on, Jeff.
So internalize this. Let God's Spirit impact you in however you can. But you need to come, whether it's your family group, whether you're on campus serving, whatever, serve. Go to serve, not to be served. That's what an apprentice of Jesus does. It's hypocrisy if you don't. Okay? So we got that on point, on straight. The next passage, you ain't gonna like. I'm gonna tell you right now. This was the easy one. You ain't gonna like the next one. Turn over to Luke. I already know. This morning, they ain't like it either at 9 o'clock. That's all right. I'm still gonna use it. Luke 17. You ain't gonna like this. I know. That's okay. this was something totally different, like about a couple months ago. Brother, Michael Burns, he's an author and a brother in our church in the Midwest, but he came, spoke to our staff, and he actually shared this passage, and he was actually sharing with us. He was struggling to forgive a brother in his fellowship. And he was just talking about his heart. He was really struggling. And so he read this passage and we talked about it. And then as I was preparing this message, since it talks about a servant, I read it again and I'm like, man, this is a teaching that's not easy for us in our culture, this individualistic kind of culture we live in. But hey, it is what it is. But, look in verse, 3 when it talks about, hey, if your brother sins, rebuke him, right? And if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4, if he sins against you, how many times? 7 times in a year? Oof, 7 times in a day. And 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent. You're supposed to what? And what did the apostle say? Man, you need to increase my faith, man. Hey, man, if that's what it means to be up in this church thing, right? You got another, give me a better dosage. I've got 5 milligrams. Now I need about 400 milligram dosage of this here, Christianity, because I can't do this easily, right? And we right? And so that's their initial, like, wow, that's a lot. And so how does Jesus respond? Faith. I mean, faith. You can have faith inside of a little seed, and that can move a tree, and it can do whatever you want. This ain't got nothing to do with faith. So if you think this is about faith, you're in the wrong spot. As a matter of fact, let me break it down for you. I'm gonna tell you a little something. He said, and then Jesus, oh, you gotta appreciate Jesus. This part you ain't gonna like. He said, okay, well, suppose one of you, so imagine you have a servant. You. So think you're in your home and you have a servant. And this is a pastoral kind of setting. And that servant, you can picture it in your mind, they're out there plowing your field. Or tending your sheep, and you get all the produce from that field, or you get all the whatever the sheep produces, wool, whatever else, that's your stuff. And your servant, you made it, you got a servant, they're out there working. And the end of the day comes, and your servant comes in the door. Jesus is like, so would you say to the servant after he comes in, hey, come on in. Hey, sit down, have a seat, get comfortable. Oh, put your feet up. Go on and eat. You want some salt and pepper? You want some sriracha with that? What you want? You good? You good? Is that how you would treat your servant when they come in after working? Jesus said, oh no, I don't think so. In fact, wouldn't it more look like this when your servant comes in? They come in the door? Wouldn't it more look like this? All right, why don't you go ahead and prepare my meal? And why don't you wait on me and make sure I'm good? And after I've eaten, then you can go ahead and eat. Isn't that more a normal way things work in that setting? And then Jesus said, oh, I'm not done yet. And he goes, oh, and would you thank your servant for plowing or tending the sheep and getting your food? Would you thank him? No. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Verse 10, so you also, hold up, the last passage, not so with you, but this one, oh no, so you, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." What is Jesus getting at? He's getting at what it means to be a servant, guys. This is hard for us, but this is a teaching that we need deeply. He's saying, yeah, you know, forgiveness, that's about, hey, if they repent, you need to forgive them. Oh, man, I need more faith to do that. That's hard, man, because he could have really hurt my feelings. It's not about faith. You know what this is about? It's about doing what you're supposed to do if you're going to call yourself a Christian. This ain't about nothing else. It's straight up, you either going to be one of my servants, because if you my servant, and I'm going to come down here, put up with your junk, drink the cup, go up on a cross, if I got to deal with all of that, the least you can do is forgive somebody after they repent. This ain't got nothing to do with faith. This is about you my servant, or you want to be my servant, you want to call yourself a Christian and get all the benefits that come with that? Well, then you need to do what I would do. You my servant. And so when you out there doing what you're supposed to do, what you agreed to do, go out there and live your life. And when you come in, you may or may not get the warm fuzzies. It may not feel great to you all the time in the church setting. There may be moments when you, man, I wish I'd get a little more gratitude for what I'm doing, you know? Appreciate a couple of thank yous from this. Geez, I mean, I come in, I'm like, wait on me. I mean, but you're the servant in this story. It's not about, oh, I need more faith. No, you need to remember who you are. Again, he's checking you. He's checking me. He's checking us. Do you really have what it takes to be a servant? Do you really have the mindset to be a servant of King Jesus? Because this is what it looks like. There are moments when it's not about getting the warm fuzzies from everybody around you. Sometimes in church, you're not going to get gratitude for the stuff you are doing. Sometimes that's going to happen because it happened to Jesus too. We're his apprentices. If it happened to him, we're not greater than him.
Yeah. Come on, Jeff.
So don't complain and grumble about it as if some deep injustice has happened to you that you've received ingratitude within the church. Serve the King.
So good.
But Jeff, I'm a volunteer, man, and they got me showing up, man, you know, I can come. I mean, if I can't make the Kingdom Kids, I'll just, whatever, man. I ain't got time to be getting no substitute. I'm just a volunteer, man. Why y'all be blood, you know, just squeezing the blood all out of me, man? I'm just trying to volunteer. Who are you volunteering for, bro? If it's just North River, then you done missed the whole point of the faith. I don't care if you're volunteering or not. You're supposed to be a servant of the King.
That's right.
That doesn't exempt you from being faithful to what you called to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just got to get checked by the Word of God.
Yeah.
Let's have a heart of a servant. And that means sometimes it doesn't feel 100% awesome. And if that doesn't help you, this quote about knocked me off my floor. And I about started screaming at this man. The true test of whether we are a servant is that we don't mind being treated like one. This is a hard lesson for our culture. It's an individualistic, make it to the top, achievement, image, brand, awesome, everybody see the best, treat me. You got to see. How was Jesus' brand? His brand was so awesome, his number one guy was running away. I don't even know the guy. Right? Right? So, if you're in it for brand, I'm with the cool brand, its stock is trending upward and all this, you don't have a heart of a servant. Told you I wasn't going to like that passage, but please don't have the mindset that North River is the place where you come to get all your needs met, to get everyone be grateful for you, for everything you do, every time you do it. And if you don't get it, you're not going to be happy. please don't do that. It'll be a miserable place for you. It genuinely will. Here's the other. As I told you, I've been doing the examine lately. Just, you know, I wake up, I look back at the previous day. I pray to God about it. You know, God, did I experience you? Did I miss you? Did maybe something happen? What stirred in my heart? And I recently did this. And I'm not telling you this story to boost myself up. Please don't take it that way. I hope you get what I'm saying. But I'm doing the examine. And I was trying to figure out what really resonated with me the day before. And the day before, we had midweek, our community. And it started pouring down rain right before the end of midweek. I mean, buckets coming down. And my wife came up to me, and I'd have been with this woman 21 years. I already know the drill. I'm like, I'm going to go get the car. You know what I'm saying? I already know the drill. I ran, got the car, got it close up, you know, so she could run up. And then she said, I got an umbrella. And I said, cool, give this umbrella to Janae. And it's one of them little girly umbrellas. I'm like, cool. But then I saw the big umbrella in the back seat, and I was like, oh, I'll just grab that, you know. And I took it back, gave Janae the little one. And I had the big one. I was just like, I was seeing people, like, looking out. I'm like, where's your car? Let's go. I got this big umbrella. Let's just go. I mean, it's not like that's some huge thing, but I just walked people, you know, to their car, whatever, in the rain. One sister had just gotten her hair did, you know, and she didn't want to get it all messed up. So, you know what I'm saying? Let her do her thing, right? So it don't get wet, right? I understand, right? So, whatever. But, you know, I get at the end of the day, I got to lock up and I'm wet, whatever. I go home. So the next morning, when did I feel like most, I was like just serving people. It wasn't a deep doctrine I learned in the Bible, a new Greek word. But man, there was just something real Jesus-like that I experienced. Not just taught about, but it stirred in my heart like, man, I want to be more like that. Because I feel connected to the Lord that way. And that's where joy is in the church. Yeah. It's getting wet and doing something for somebody else. Yes. To me, that's it. But if you flip the script and it's you show up to be served and to get your stuff met, you will not like it here. The most miserable people in the world are the ones that are just waiting on everybody to serve them. All right, last passage. You might like this one more, I don't know. All right, Luke 15, how much time I got? Dang, okay. All right, you know the story. Guy's got two sons. First son, rude. Give me your money, I ain't gonna wait for you to die. I don't wanna wait that long for your inheritance, give it to me. Father says, dang, that's rude, but here you go, you can have it. Kid goes off, spend all the money, wild, crazy living. Ain't got no more money. And people are like, I don't even know who you are. He ain't got no money. Like, man, I had it better at home. I'm going to go back home. He goes back home. The father doesn't even make him apologize. The father loves up on him. Oh, let's throw a party. Woohoo! Throws a party, kills the fattened calf. But there's a problem with the story, and we're about to read the problem. I just summarized a few verses. Verse 25, excuse me. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came, Luke 15, verse 25. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, and I like the ESV version because it helps out my sermon. Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. People, what do you see? What are you seeing? Some jealousy, funkiness. But where is it coming from? Where is this coming from? Right? There's something going on in his heart. And this is the problem. If you don't get the first passage we read today about being a son of man, he came to serve, not to be served, if you really don't have that heart, And if you don't get the passage we just read, hey, we just servants. You know what I'm saying? We are serving King Jesus. It ain't about all you feeling great all the time. Do what we're supposed to do if we're really his apprentices. If you don't really get that message, then you will become this older brother. You will. And we, and the older you get in the faith, the more you can lean toward this guy. Because guess what this guy actually did? He did serve. Just like some of you. For a long time. And in his estimation, I've served a long time. For years, he said, I have dutifully served. But what's the problem? Man, all that serving, but how could you end up in this place where you don't even want to be around anybody in your own family anymore? Because it's possible to serve a lot, but never really get the heart of that father. Because you never get the heart and the mindset of what it means to be a true servant. You thought you did, but maybe you really didn't. Yeah. And maybe, you fall into that trap. And I appreciate, Paul never fell into the trap either. And he was a great, like, servant, going everywhere, greatest missionary ever, right? But the best thing, one of the things I love about Paul was, even though he was a doer, right? You know what he never allowed happen? His service become his sense of identity. His service, the mission, he was mission to the Gentiles, never supplanted that he was a child of God. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to love that. He always kept that number one. Some of us mess up and we get twisted. And I read this quote and see if it resonates with you or not. Well, actually, let's look at what the Father says, because this is important. He says, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Notice what he says. "My son, you are always with me." That's what he wants. He wants the son with him. But look at this quote. "Like the younger son, we often build our identities around what we receive from God. Or like the older son, we find our value in how we serve God. A great deal of effort is expended in faith communities trying to transform people from younger sons into older sons. But that's a fool's errand, because what mattered the most to the father was neither the younger son's disobedience nor the older son's obedience, but having his sons with him." Yeah. And so it is with our Heavenly Father.
So good.
Please don't serve just to get a reward. Don't do it. "I've been serving all this time. It's about time for you to, God, for you to hook me up with whatever. I don't know. Insert whatever." Don't do it. You're going to end up the older son. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Don't do it with that thing in your heart where you're really, really, really expecting a reward on this life, in this life. And if you don't get it, then you can't really have fellowship with God. You don't want nothing to do with him. Because at some point, it's going to come to a head. Older son. Both sons are lost. They just come at it from different ways. The older son's just a little more patient. Please don't let that happen to you, right? So this is what I hope that we can get out of today. At the end of the day, let's make sure that our overall attitude is that we're apprentices of Jesus. And this is stuff for your small groups. Maybe take a picture of it, watch it on the live stream. I don't know. I want you to talk about it. Or talk about it with your boy, your girl, your best friend, whatever. But don't just how's your heart of servitude? Are you funky? Right? Sometimes you might not know you're funky, but one of your friends might say, "Yeah, you actually are a little funky. You find a lot of value. Like, if you're not doing 9 Bible studies, serving 4 people, doing it, then you don't feel like you're great. But when you look at the person that is in 4 Bible studies and does, you think, oh, God loves them more.
Wow.
What? God values them more because of what they produce? Are you crazy? We're all servants.
Come on.
We're all unworthy servants. God just wants to be with you. And if you can understand that and appreciate his heart and gain his heart, you'll, trust me, I have a deep conviction, you will serve people.
Yep.
When you let the Spirit take you over, you will serve people. Find people to serve.
Amen.
Your family group, go to serve. When you come here, serve. It is the pathway to joy at the end, even though there's going to be some thorns on the way. Trust me. Any other way will not lead to a life of joy. I hope that these questions can stimulate great talking in your small groups, because we believe in them at our church, and we believe it helps us to get closer together. So I'm going to say a word of prayer, and we'll take the Lord's Supper, and hopefully this message helps you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we have the heart of a servant. I pray that we aren't trying to serve just to get you to do something for us. I just pray that we actually consider it an honor and a privilege to just wake up and do anything for you. And thank you for Jesus, for that example that he gave us, that he didn't just preach sermons about serving, but he embodied it. And help us as we eat this bread, help us to remember his body that he had on that cross was broken, and the blood that he shed as we drink this juice, and let's take it into our hearts and into our body. And let us take that attitude and that mindset into this world, because we know he rose again and he's coming back, and he's going to change this world for the good. Pray in his name. Amen.